I think it was last week we talked about victory over fear and worry. So you've been free of worry all week, is that right? You've been not worried about anything? Well, good. Some of you have. We're going to talk about it again today, victory over fear and worry. I believe that the key to that is you've got to have something to wash that stuff out. When it gets in your head, gets in your brain, you start thinking about it, and you start worrying and fretting, and things are bothering you, then I'm convinced that you're not strong enough to stop that kind of thinking all by yourself. The power of positive thinking, people talk about that a lot, and it works. It works generally speaking, but the power of positive thinking has one drawback, and that is that if you're not in the Word of God, there's not enough power of one thought to push out another thought. Not permanently, anyway. So we have to look at this idea. We're going to talk for a little bit about how God's Word defeats fear and worry. How God's Word defeats fear and worry. You'll see some scriptures up here as I talk about one. You'll see it scroll across. But this one is Mark chapter 4. In Mark chapter 4, Jesus is giving this parable of the sower, the man who went out and sowed seed, and the seed fell on this ground and fell on that ground. And as a sower sowed seed, Jesus talks about that as being a parable of when the word is preached or taught. When you hear the Bible being spoken or read it or something like that, the word comes to you and you have an opportunity. And the opportunity is, how will I receive it? Will I receive it? Well, some of the people didn't receive it that well. But the one I want to focus on is Mark chapter 4, verse 18, where it says this. Verse 18 says, still others like seed sown among thorns. You remember he talks about different kinds of ground. And this one is the thorny ground. And he said, seed sown in the ground, it's like people who hear the word, verse 19, but the worries of life and the deceitfulness of wealth. The worries of life and the deceitfulness of wealth and the desires of other things come in and choke the word, making it unproductive or unfruitful. So this kind of person, he said, is the kind of person who hears the words. They're not against it. They don't reject it. They just hear it. And they go away, and life's worries, and when they get into riches, the deceitful, it doesn't say they're wealthy. It says they believe if they were wealthy, it would solve their problems. If I just had enough money. If I just had enough money, I could do this, that, or the other. The deceitfulness of wealth. Wealth tells you I can solve your problem. The god Mammon, I've read that anyway, that when Jesus talked about wealth and Mammon and don't seek it, don't love wealth. There was a god named Mammon that some people worshipped hoping to get wealthy. So the deceitfulness of wealth. Wealth tells you if you just had me, all your problems would be, these worries wouldn't bother you anymore. If you just had this wealth, deceitfulness of wealth. So there, he says here, the desires, the worries of life, and the deceitfulness of getting rich or being wealthy. Not that it's wrong in itself, it's just if you think that's going to solve all your problems, talk to a few wealthy people. Some very wealthy people have to have armed guards. Some very wealthy people have their kids kidnapped for ransom. Some very wealthy people have all kinds of money problems. I've got this money now, and what am I going to do with it? How will I keep people from stealing it? How will I keep people from breaking in? I saw a commercial the other day with Jay Leno, the guy that used to be on The Tonight Show, and he's on a commercial for this protection against having your identity stolen, and he said, I think he said, before I ever retired, somebody filed for my retirement benefits. Now, they didn't file for retirement benefits of a broke person. They filed for the retirement benefits of a wealthy person, all the stuff he was going to get. So the deceitfulness of wealth, desires for other things come in, the desires that you got to have this, got to have that. Now, notice this. They come in and they choke the word. They don't choke you. You feel like you're choking sometimes. What do? They choke the word. So you've heard the word, and the word is giving you the help you need. It's giving you the answer, giving you the access to the answer, and you hear it, and then you start worrying. And you start wondering, well, how could I get more money? If I just had more money, you know, I could solve this issue. And so that gets on your mind. All the worries get on your mind. And all the desires for something other than the Word get on your mind. And as they get on your mind, what happens? This Word, he didn't say you get, he said the Word gets choked. The power of the Word. Preachers talk about how powerful the Word is. You may say, well, I haven't experienced that, maybe because it's choked out. Something choked it out. You start worrying after you hear the Word, and you're canceling what God's trying to do for you. You choke it. So how does God's word defeat fear and worry? It will defeat fear and worry if you let the Word wash out what worry is doing. If you say, well, I worried some today, but I'm going to stop that for a while. I'm going to read my Bible. I'm going to get in there and read the 23rd Psalm again because I love that Psalm. I'm going to read that and let that speak to me about my life and because of long range, you know. Long range. We went to Judy's mom's memorial service yesterday, and the striking thing about that memorial service to me was that everybody talked about her, of course, and her love for little children and her faithfulness to do what God called her to do. So that nobody talked about, did you see the suit she had on last Easter? Nobody talked about, oh, she had a lot of money, because she didn't, but nobody talked about her financial position. Nobody talked about how many vacations she had been on. Nobody talked about any of that. They talked about the fact that she loved God and loved those kids and taught them about Jesus. They even sang one of the songs we sang, Jesus Loves Me, because she always taught that to the kids. What kind of legacy? What kind of legacy will you leave behind? Will they say, she was so hard to get along with? Will they say, he never really took care of his family? I mean, what legacy will you leave? Try to leave. I think if you stay in the Word, you're going to leave the legacy the Word puts in you. And if it puts it in you, it's going to come out and people are going to see it. So how does the Word help you defeat fear and worry? Well, one way is that the Word will combat your worries. That's why it says here, if you continue to worry, worry and God's Word are against each other. They're fighting it out in your brain, in your spirit. Worry and the Word of God just fighting and fighting and fighting. Paul wrote one time that the spirit and the flesh fight each other. They're antagonistic to each other. Jesus said the flesh is weak. Spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. So the Word of God and your worries and cares and fears and all that will fight against the Word. So you have to say, I need more Word time. I need to get with God's Word so I can be cleansed of all these worries I have. Another passage shows you, in Joshua chapter 1, shows you that we talked about last week, actually. But when you get in Joshua chapter 1, chapter 1, verse 8 is where we're going to be. Joshua chapter 1, verse 8 talks about that very idea. God was sending Joshua into the land that they had been promised. And as he's sending him in there, they've been 40 years ago, they had gone into the land. And Joshua and Caleb tried to convince the people that God was right. God said, it's your land, you can have it, go get it. And Joshua and Caleb came back from their spy mission with other guys, 10, wasn't it? And they came back, and Joshua and Caleb tried to convince the people. People were scared and afraid and worried about the future. And Joshua and Caleb said, no, we can do this. God, with God's help, we'll do this. God told us to do this. But the others said, no, it can't be done. There are giants over there, large fortified cities. Well, now they've had 40 years. God said, no, you can't. This generation can't go because you didn't have faith. So I'm going to raise up another generation that can go. So they've waited 40 years, but so has Joshua and so has Caleb. They've had to wait 40 years. They've had 40 years to think about it. The enemy's had 40 years to get stronger. Now what's it going to be like? Do you ever think like a grasshopper? What do grasshoppers think about? I don't know, but the Bible here says, and this whole story talks about how the spies that turned back said, that didn't want to go in, they said, we saw the giants in the land, and we were like grasshoppers in our own eyes. And we're like grasshoppers to them. A grasshopper's timid, right? Timid. And a grasshopper says, I can't do anything. A grasshopper looks at a lion and says, oh, I could never tackle that one. A grasshopper looks at a giant and says, no, not me. I can't do that. So getting ready to go back in, was Joshua going to think like a grasshopper or was he going to think like Caleb? Notice what it says. Joshua chapter 1, verse 8. Verse 6, God said to Joshua, be strong and courageous because you will lead these people to inherit the land I gave them. Be strong and very courageous in verse 8. Then it comes to verse 7. Verse 8, do not let this book of the law, the word, do not let this book of the law leave your mouth. Leave your what? Your mouth. Think about that. He said, I want you talking this. In fact, he'd already told him in Deuteronomy, I want you to raise your children that way. Talk about it when you get up. Talk about it when you go to bed. Talk about it when you're going somewhere down the road. Talk about it all the time. Talk about God's word all the time. And so he's telling Joshua that. Do not let it depart from your mouth. So you can read and study and get into the word of God and then go out and talk worry and doubt and fear and you're canceling everything you just read. Everything you just learned. You say, but I don't have the willpower. I just don't have the willpower to stop worrying. Right? You don't. I've tried it. Have you? By yourself, you can't do it. Got to have help. What kind of help do I need? Oh, I need some powerful help. The Word of God is living and active and sharper than any double-edged sword, right? And it can discern the thoughts and intents of the heart. It can get in there. The Word can get in there and draw you to faith if you let it. So he's telling Joshua, keep speaking it, keep talking it, keep teaching it. And then he goes on to say, meditate on it day and night. Not just your little morning meditation with your coffee. You know, he said, no, day and night, I want you in this. I want you to, Joshua, I want you, Joshua was a strong guy, but God said, you'll not be strong unless you do this. If you do this, you'll be strong and you'll be very courageous. So I want you doing this, he said. Then he said, meditate on it day and night so you may be careful to do everything written in it. Then you'll be prosperous and successful. So what's the point? How did God tell Joshua to combat those fears of having to go back in that place? There are some tribes in there that were bloodthirsty. There are some tribes in there that eat their own children. There's some tribes in there that practice cannibalism, drink blood. There are some tribes in there that probably are headhunters. There are some tribes over there in that land. And he said, you're going to have to go over there. This land is not virgin land, pristine land. It's beautiful and it flows with milk and honey. But there's some tough folks over there you're going to have to take it away from. Do we have a tough enemy in Satan? He's going to get every inch he can. Somebody told me, he said, if you give Satan an inch, he'll become a ruler. So you got to combat, you have to fight for your promised land. You have to say, I'm not giving up my territory. God gave me this territory, and I'm not giving it up. So how can I do that? He said here to Joshua, you're going back in that place, and there's some bad people over there in some big fortified cities, probably worse than when you were there the first time. So go over there with the word in your mouth. Go over there with the word in your heart. Go over there with speaking it and meditating on it and doing what I tell you to do. Obey my voice and do it. If you look at chapter 2, Joshua chapter 2, verse 8. Interesting story in verse 8. Joshua sent 2 spies in. Before this is they're 40 years later. They're about ready to go into that dangerous place, and he sends a couple of spies in. You know what they found? Look at this, verse 8. Before the spies lay down for the night, this woman she's sheltering them. She knows they're from Joshua's group, and now she's one of the pagan in that pagan nation. So she sheltered them, and she went up on the roof to talk to them. She's putting her life on the line by keeping these spies. She said to them, I know that Jehovah has given this land to you. Huh? She's not a worshiper of Jehovah, not yet anyway. She's not a Jew. I know that Jehovah has given this land to you, and that a great fear of you has come on us. They're more scared of Joshua than Joshua is of them. That we're scared of you. Notice what she says. So that all who live in this country are melting in fear because of you. Satan trembles in his boots when you take a stand. You say, I'm not having this. I'm not having this in my family. I'm not having this in my life. I'm standing up. I'm going to pray about this. I'm going to read the word, what the word says about this. I'm going to stand. So all who live in the country are melting in fear because of you. We have heard. Oh, over the last 40 years, what had they heard? We have heard how Jehovah dried up the water of the Red Sea. That was 40 years earlier or more. He said, we know that story. They didn't have a Bible, but they heard it. Why? Because that was a big deal. God bringing them out of Egypt, freeing them from slavery, bringing them across the Red Sea. That's a big deal. And they said, we heard about that. For when you came up out of Egypt, what you did to Sihon and Og, the two kings of the Amorites east of the Jordan, whom you completely destroyed. They'd already fought two kings and destroyed them on the other side. She said, we heard about all that. We heard of it, verse 11. Our hearts melted. Everyone's courage failed because of you, for Jehovah your God is God in heaven above and on the earth below. Now then, please swear to me by Jehovah that you will show kindness to my family. And they did that, didn't they? Look at this. God told Joshua, don't you worry. I don't want you worried and fearful about what's going on over there. See, some of our worries and fears are our imagination. And you get over there and you say, this is not as bad as I thought it was going to be. It's not as bad as I thought. It's God's taking care of this. He's already working over there. God's already in your future. You don't have to worry about your future. He's already there. He knows it well, doesn't he? So Joshua gives us a clue on how God's word defeats fear and worry. God told him, I want you to be strong. I want you to be courageous. Even though he doesn't know what's over there, I want you to be strong and courageous. So here's what I want you to do. Stay in my word. Speak my word. Meditate my word. Do what my word says. Then you'll be prosperous. Then you'll be courageous. Then you'll be successful. So, think about it this way. This week, I'm going to give you a little homework. Is that okay? Look at Psalm 91, the 91st Psalm. Some of you are saying, oh, I love that one. 91st Psalm. He who dwells. This is for you to read. Write it down. It's probably on the screen there. Write it down so you can... You can read it this week and think about it. What did God say? Take my word and do what? Meditate on it. What else do you do? Speak it. So when an issue or situation comes up where you start worrying, you start talking about what's in Psalm 91. That's one place. I'll give you another one here in a minute. 91st Psalm. He who dwells in the shelter of the Most High. He who does what? Dwells in the secret place or the shelter of the Most High. You got to dwell in God. God has to be everything to you. He has to be your life. He has to be, love the Lord your God, Jesus said, with all your heart and all your soul and all your mind and all your strength. Too many of us are distracted by too many other things. Life has things we have to attend to. We have responsibilities. But we don't have to be so absorbed in all of that that we forget God. He says here, Psalm 91 says, he who dwells in the shelter of the Most High will rest in the shadow of the Almighty. I will do what? Say of the Lord. You know what God told Joshua? I want my word coming out of your mouth. I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge, my fortress, my God, in whom I trust. Surely he will save you from the fowler's snare, from the deadly pestilence. The fowler's snare is where the fowler catches birds and sacrifices them. He'll save you from that, being captured by the enemy. From the deadly pestilence, the word in Hebrew is plague. Coronavirus. Is anything too hard for God? Nope. So you don't have to have that unless you want it. If you go around saying, well, I hope I don't get that coronavirus, I guess I might have that. Oh, I have some symptoms now. Maybe that's what that is. You just say, no. My Father will save me from any snare, and my Father will save me from deadly pestilence. He'll cover you with his feathers, and under his wings you will find refuge. If you grew up on a farm, you know what that means, right? What happens? I saw one the other day, a picture online somewhere of the big forest fire that was happening in California not long ago, and some ranger went through. They went through the burned over area, and there was a bird that had been burned to death. She was just almost ashes, and the ranger kicked it over, and little chicks came out from under there. That's what that says. Do you think people that read that back in their day, they knew what that meant? What happens? God will do that. Cover you with his feathers. Under his wings you find refuge. Jesus died for us like that bird died in the fire to save those chicks. Under his wings you'll find refuge. His faithfulness, not your faithfulness, his faithfulness. Our faithfulness wavers. His faithfulness will be your shield and your rampart. You will not fear the terror of the night, nor the arrow that flies by day, or the missile that flies by day, nor the pestilence, or plague is the word. Nor the plague that stalks the darkness, nor the plague, in the NIV it uses that word, nor the destruction that destroys at midday. 1,000 may fall at your side, 10,000 at your right hand, but it will not come near you. You say, I don't know, I just can't believe that. I just can't believe it. I can't believe it's not going to get to me. I can't believe. When you keep saying, I can't believe it, I can't believe it, I can't believe it, guess what? You can't believe it. When the time comes to believe it, you won't believe it. Instead of saying that, say, this was written to me because I'm a child of God. And what happens? 1,000 may fall at your side, 10,000 at your right hand, but it won't come near you. You know this is a warrior psalm? A warrior psalm. Jimmy Stewart, the famous actor, got ready to leave for World War II. You know, he was in World War II and was a pretty good pilot, the actor Jimmy Stewart. He said, I got ready to get on the train. My dad was saying goodbye to me because I'm shipping out to war, and that's a tough time for a family, isn't it? And he said, my dad, we hugged, and he said, my dad had a little piece of paper and he stuck it in my pocket. Got on the train. A little while later, I remembered that piece of paper, took it out. Guess what? 91st Psalm. I heard of a military commander that said he was given an elite unit that had lost a lot of men. I think it was in some of the Middle Eastern wars we've been in. And he lost, the unit he was taking over had lost a lot of guys. He said, I'm not going to lose any guys. He made them all memorize the 91st Psalm. He said, if you're going to work for me, you're going to memorize this psalm. Yes, sir. They memorized it. Didn't lose a one. The warrior psalm. Are we in combat against Satan? Oh, you bet. If you don't know that, let's talk, because he's working. You will not fear the terror of the night, nor the arrow that flies by day, nor the pestilence that stalks the darkness, nor the plague that destroys the midday. 1,000 may fall at your side, 10,000 at your right hand. Right here. What's he talking about? You're watching people die. In combat, you're watching people die. And he said, a thousand just fell right out there, and there's 10,000 laying all around me. He said, it won't come near you. It won't happen to you. But I know somebody that believed God with all her heart, and she had so much tragedy in her life. Well, you just said God's a liar. I'm not ready to go there. Sure, people have tragedies. Certainly, Christians suffer and have problems and sicknesses and all of that. And you can focus on that, or you can focus on what God says. I know people who lived a Christian life for many, many, many years, and their family was fine, and everything was good, and everything went well. And when they died, they just fell asleep at night and they woke up in heaven. Why can't we live like that? It will not come near me, he says. You'll only observe with your eyes and see the punishment of the wicked. They're having a big battle, and he sees all the wicked people falling, but it doesn't come near him. If you make the Most High your dwelling, you got to live in God. If you make the Most High your dwelling, even Jehovah, who's my refuge, then no harm will befall you. No disaster will come near your tent. How does that work? No disaster will come near your household. But I'm a Christian. I had disaster in my life. Sorry. I'm sorry that happened. Really am. I mean, in ministry, I see a lot of people with tragedy and problems and difficulties and deaths and all of that. But this says, he says here, if you make the Most High your dwelling, I think we have a ways to go with that, don't we? To make God everything in your life. And then Jesus said, then if you have tragedy, it's okay because you'll be suffering for me. He's talking about, Jesus talked a lot about suffering, but he's talking about suffering persecution for being the right kind of person. If you suffer that, you got a badge of honor, don't you? He will come, here's why. No harm will befall you, no disaster will come near your tent, because he will command his angels concerning you to guard you in all your ways. You won't have to worry about anything. Angels are taking care of it. Angels go before you. Angels follow you. Angels are around you. There's one passage that says they encamp all around you. There's one angel that killed 185,000 Assyrian soldiers in one night with a plague because they threatened Jerusalem. They're about to try to take Jerusalem. God's got this. Where is our faith? If you're in the Word, you're going to have the faith. For he will command his angels concerning you. They'll guard you in all your ways. They lift you up in their hands, so you won't even strike your foot against a stone. You won't even trip. You won't even stub your toe, he says. Then he says this. You'll tread on the lion and the cobra. You'll trample the great lion and the serpent. Now, that one kind of gets me. I don't like snakes. But if I step on one, I trust God to protect me, right? He says, "If our big enemy is not a snake, it's Satan. He's the serpent, isn't he?" He says here, you'll just walk right over him. You'll trample. Paul wrote to one church and he said, God will crush the devil under your feet shortly. Can God do that? Since Christ died on the cross. Verse 14, because he loves me. Now God's talking now, right? Look at this. God is talking. The Lord said this, because he or she loves me, I'll rescue them. I'll protect them, for they acknowledge my name. They'll call upon me and I will answer them. There's the answer to prayer. I will be with them in trouble, deliver them and honor them with long life. I'll satisfy them and show them my salvation. Now, God is not a liar, and God does not make promises he can't keep. So if you want your worries to be canceled out and your fears, take Psalm 91 this week. Work on it. Here's another one. Quickly, Hebrews 13 is not as long. Hebrews chapter 13. These are Psalm 91 and Hebrews 13, the passage I'm going to give you now, are great ways to cancel worry and fear if you start going down that road. You say, well, you don't know how much I have to worry about. I got a lot to worry about. Well, God knows, and he said, don't go there, right? Don't go there. Go here. Go here in this word. Hebrews 13, verse 5. Keep your lives free from the love of money and be content with what you have. Keep your lives free. He didn't say keep your lives free from money. He said keep your lives free from what? Loving it. Thinking it will solve your problem. We need money for obviously for certain things, but if you think money is going to make you happy, the only way it makes you happy is you give it to somebody else to bless them. Then you get some satisfaction, right? Keep your lives, this is up to us, keep your lives free from the love of money and be content with what you have because God told you this. What did he tell us? Never will I leave you. Never will I forsake you. You know he said that 3 or 4 times in Scripture? Said it to Moses. Moses was facing a lot of challenges. God said, I'm not going to leave you. I'm not going to forsake you. Said it to Joshua. Going into that land. I won't leave you behind. I won't forsake you. I won't take you over there and then abandon you. Never will I leave you. Never will I forsake you. So we say with confidence. We say with confidence. The Lord is my helper. Who is? Oh, I got some help. Like that man that had the blood covenant. He got the spear from the tribal chieftain. And wherever he went, they knew if we mess with him, we got to mess with his big army over here. Your worries and your fears and Satan's working in your life, trying to work in your life, know that if you stand up, and say with confidence, the Lord is my helper, that's going to change. That's a game changer, isn't it? So we say with confidence, the Lord's my helper, I will not be afraid. Just saying that's enough, isn't it? I will not be afraid. The Lord's my helper, I will not be afraid. The Lord is my helper, I will not be afraid. What can man do to me? You say, well, they can kill you. Guess what? Not till the Lord's ready. Then you're going to be... Did you know, I thought about that when I read this. King David, the great warrior general of Israel. How many battles was he in? Bunch of them. As far as we know, you can check me on it when you read David's story, read his life story. As far as I can tell, he didn't get a scratch. I know he didn't die in battle. He died of old age. All the stuff flying and all the battles he was in and all of what people tried to do to David, his own son turned against him. God was right there with him, wasn't he? The Lord's my helper, I will not be afraid. What can man do to me? Verse 7. Remember your leaders who spoke the word of God to you. Consider the outcome of their way of life and imitate their faith. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and even in 2020, and the future. Yesterday, today, and forever, he is the same. Take those scriptures, especially Psalm, you can do the others too, but Psalm 91 and Hebrews 13, those few passages I gave you, worry and fear won't have a chance to stand against God's word. It's all up to you. If you're not listening and you don't cooperate, I'm sorry, but that's up to you. When Jesus told the parable of the sower, did you notice that? Only 25% of the people that heard it really grabbed it. Doesn't mean some of them later didn't grab it, but right then they didn't grab it. So grab it while you can. Father, thank you today for our good church family and all the good things you're doing through us. Strengthen us with power through your spirit in the inner being that Christ will live in us by faith and your word will live in us by faith. And we thank you. Asking you, Father, to bless us in Christ's name. Amen.